message from the big British castle. Coming live from the Glastonbury Festival. We're inside a special area with great big walls, so the weirdos and the hoolies can't get through to go to the loo.
Very good. That was Vampire Weekend with Cape Cod Kwasa Kwasa. Was that the real version, James? Yes, that was the real. That wasn't live or anything, no.
It's hard to tell, isn't it? Because the quality of live music here is so brills.
It's so absolutely brills. The bands are very well trained and drilled. They're drilled to be brills.
Good morning, everybody. This is Adam and Joe coming to you live from the Glastonbury Festival. I'm Joe.
I'm Adam.
And I'm a little bit disturbed to see that you can actually watch us in, you know, with quite a lot of clarity on the studio webcams. It's slightly unsettling.
There's live streaming going on.
Ooh, we don't really like it. Adam and I got into radio in order to, you know, just sort of get ugly and old in private.
Yeah, exactly.
But now we're being exposed to the world and it's troubling.
So we're going to put our sunglasses on.
Yeah.
We're inside a very, very small studio here, right next to the pyramid stage in the middle of the Glastonbury Fair. And inside the studio, it's been festooned with bits of foliage. Is it real foliage or is it plastic
foliage?
Must
be, if it was plastic foliage, that would be a disgrace for the BBC. It would be a lie.
It would not be safeguarding.
It would be a scandal.
Botanical Trust.
It is plastic foliage.
That's a disgrace.
That's a disgrace. That's going to be all over the papers tomorrow.
All over the papers.
Lying
public
to the
money
public.
Spent on fake flowers.
A charade. A travesty.
You know, we may as well go out there with those flowers and smack people in the face.
Yes, let's do that.
Let's find a mother and her children,
Adam,
and smack them in the face with fake flowers.
Hey,
what,
come
have
on.
I gone too far?
This is the first link and you've gone
way too far. You know,
pull
what?
It back quickly.
Here's the thing, right? Later on in the show, I'm going to tease some stuff, Joe. Later on in the show, we're actually going to be talking to a real family.
Wow.
Some grown-ups and their children who have come to the Glastonbury Festival.
Are they the special Glastonbury family? Are they a Six Music thing? They're the Six Music Glastonbury family, and they're going to be telling us about the festival as experienced by a sort of classic nuclear family.
They're a real family, though, right? They're not actors pretending to be a family, which would be weird. They're a real family. We're going to be talking to them later on. I'll be genuinely interested to find out how they've been getting on, because the more I come to Glastonbury, the more I think, I would never bring my family here. In a million years, I would never bring children here, tiny children.
I saw a family with a good technique yesterday. They had all their kids in a wheelbarrow.
Right.
And they were just wheelbarrowing them around the site.
Yeah.
You know, that's quite a good way to do it, isn't it?
That's good, yeah. That's like in the stock market crash when people used to wheel around barrows of money.
Yes.
And now
in what way is it like that?
The
wheelbarrow. There's a wheelbarrow. Good one. And that's good.
That's like, also, it's like in gardening.
Yes.
When they use a wheelbarrow.
Yeah. No, you're good. You haven't gone far enough now.
No.
Listen, if you want to check out our peculiar faces on the live streaming thing, you can go to bbc.co.uk/Glastonbury. There's all sorts of interactive coverage there. Are there cameras on some of the stages and stuff? I mean, you really don't need to pay for a ticket, do you?
No.
You can enjoy the whole thing courtesy of the BBC.
It's actually very nice now. The sun is out. There's some cloud around, but it's worked out pretty nicely. I was very worried about the weather situation.
I was very worried as
well. Before we arrived, because I don't like discomfort.
We've got the brains of babies.
Yeah.
You know how they say that when something happens to a baby, when it feels pain, they think it's going to continue for the rest of their life.
Right.
That's why they cry for so long and so loudly. They don't understand that it'll pass.
That's like me and Joe.
And the weather, yeah, we just think when it rains, it's just going to be like that forever.
Stop raining!
So when I saw the forecast before we arrived at Glastonbury, I just thought, this is going to be awful. I don't like mud and rain and discomfort. You know what? It's turned out very nice. I missed all the thunder and lightning that was
on
Thursday.
Man, I'd say it's changeable. I'd say anything can happen today, yeah.
Don't say that.
Well, I just got to get you psychologically prepared for another deluge.
Changeable. Listen, let's play some music right now, and we've got some Doves for you. They were playing, is this from this festival? Yeah, yesterday. They were playing on the Peel stage here at Glastonbury. And this is live track A.
It's called Black and White Town. Here's the Doves.
That was Doves.
Dot Six Music.
They were live on the Peel stage yesterday here at Glastonbury 2009. That's where we are. This is Adam.
Hey, this is Joe. I'm just trying to remember the interactive information. Are we taking texts today? 64046. That's the text number. We're going to do it. What? Yeah, he's giving me the thumbs up. I've got the number correct. And the website, no, the email address. What is this? adamandjoe.sixmusic.co.at. Oh, dear. Adam and Joe. Oh, well, I'll do this later. Look, I can't remember. We haven't got our correct pieces of paper here.
adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk.
Yeah, there you go. Well done, Count Buckley's.
Jimmy Skillpants. So how was the rest of your week before you got to Glastonbury, Joe?
It was all right. Yeah, it was good, actually. Well, you sprung that on me. I kind of forgotten about it.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about our week. We're not just going to talk about Glastonbury for this show because, you know, it is a regular show. There's some people who not only aren't interested in Glastonbury, but hate Glastonbury. That's not true. I'm just joking. But earlier in the week, there was a big, exciting thing happening at our house because we had the premiere of E.T., the new film by Steven Spielberg.
What, you were showing it to your kids for the first time?
For the first time.
Wow.
Kid premiere of E.T.
Really? Did you project it maybe with a video projector? You did?
Yeah, absolutely.
Surround sound?
Surround sound.
Well, maybe it wasn't released in surround sound. It might have just been released in stereo back in the day.
Yeah, I cranked it up, though,
on
the speakers. Closed the curtains.
Yeah.
And they didn't really like me closing the curtains.
It's too scary.
Too creepy. I forgot how frightening the beginning is, like how creepy it is. He's got weird sort of sci-fi music on the top there, almost like a horror film. It's not all the John Williams. I mean, it obviously is John Williams, but it's not the happy over-the-moon theme and the main...
No, it's mysterious and the mysterious creatures scuttling. You don't see E.T.'s face for a while, do you?
No, certainly not.
You just see his little legs and him scooting around the cornfield and stuff.
And it's amazingly suspenseful. You don't even see the faces of the adults. You just see their belts and the keys.
Well, that character is called Keys.
Is he? That's
right. Peter Coyote's character.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So it's really quite scary. And my youngest, who is about 5, was a little bit freaked out by the beginning bit.
Right.
And sort of buried his face in the pillow. I had to absolutely promise him that it was going to be nice.
Tiny glowing turd man.
Yeah.
Scuttling about. Who wouldn't be frightened?
He didn't like it. But then, you know, he got used to it after a while. And then my eldest, who's about 7, he was much more into it. He was digging it.
There's some smutty dialogue in there.
There's one...
Was this the revised version?
No, I showed them the original theatrical.
There is some smutty dialogue.
Has he removed the smutty dialogue in the revised version?
Possibly. They say penis breath, don't they?
Yeah.
And you know, I'm confident in saying that on Six Music in the Morning because
it's a gynecological term.
Yeah, if he says it in a youth certificate film. Then it's got to be fine.
That's right.
Right?
Absolutely right. What,
right.
Good call, Joe.
Producer James.
Very good call.
Just taking that as read.
Yeah. And they chuckled at that utterance.
Who wouldn't? Imagine.
But I don't think they stored it away in their locker.
Good.
That would have been upsetting if they'd unveiled it on Monday morning at school. I don't think so. But by the end of the film, they were sort of drifting a little bit. And it occurred to me that they just weren't used to seeing a film with that level of emotional weight. Do you know what I mean? They've been raised on, like, they saw Iron Man and things like that. They probably, you would think they would be too young to see Iron Man, but they absolutely loved it. And they love Transformers and all that kind of stuff. But there's no sort of emotional heft to those films. There's no...
Well, modern children, they don't feel emotion.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's actually, scientists have concluded that they're stone cold.
They're absolutely
emotionless monsters.
That's why they like Transformers.
According to the tabloids, exactly.
Because they are robot people.
Let's face it.
So I felt as if they weren't really responding to some of the emotional moments as well as they might. I mean, the fact is that they were probably a little bit too young, right? I saw it when I was...
To understand loss.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So by the time they got to the end, the big emotional farewell scene, right, when he's saying goodbye and I am sat there on the sofa watching it with them and I hadn't seen it for a while.
You're choking up.
I had a terrible sore throat trying not to just cry in front of them. And it reminded me of when I was young and watching it for the first time with my mum in the cinema. And I remember after we got up and left the cinema the first time I saw it, everyone was just in floods of tears. They were just weeping. There's a generator going on outside, don't worry, listeners. But it wasn't quite the same for the children, you know. They didn't have quite the same reaction to it. In fact, Frank just said at one stage, he's hugging an alien.
So that just may be because he's at Buxton.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. But anyway, that's what happened with us. Let's play some more music right now. Who have we got coming up?
Have we got a bit of Noah and the Whale? Yeah, this is from the Park stage yesterday. And it is, do we know what it's called? 5 years. Yeah, here it is. Noah and the Whale recorded live here at Glastonbury yesterday. That was terrific, wasn't it?
Adam very, Buxton. Very good indeed, yes. We haven't really seen much live music yet because we've just been doing our Six Music duties. We saw a little bit of the specials yesterday.
A little bit of the specials.
They we had a little good. Bit of Neil Young.
A little bit of Neil Young, just as we were leaving, though. I watched it on the TV when we got back to our hotel because we're not camping. We're too old.
Yeah.
But we did speak to some people who were camping yesterday, and this is what happened.
BBC Six Music, live from Glastonbury 2009, with Adam and Joe.
Okay, we are within what feels like about 5 centimetres of a huge bank of incredibly smelly toilets.
Yes, there is a stench of human faeces in the area, but that hasn't put off the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hardy campers.
There we go. Now, I would describe this little camping enclave as very civilised. We went through quite a few tents of slightly scarier people. There was some kind of more beery lads that looked frightening to me.
But these are the alpha campers. These are apparently the best-looking, cleverest, but yet most laid-back campers in the whole site.
There's some fellows who look as if they're from the 60s.
There was even some there was some gentle lovemaking.
There's some loving
as we arrived. We've interrupted it now. Nothing heavy, just free love kind of
some
thing.
Some petting. They were just warming up when we interrupted. But we thought we'd come and investigate the tent scenario rather than going through all your names again. We'll just take that as read. I hope you don't mind. But we're going to inspect Henry's tent.
There's a guitar here. It's a bright red guitar, and scrawled in pen are the words, "This machine is alive." And the guitar's called Lil Red. But it's a kind of Devil May Care atmosphere here. They're letting the ground come through, and the clothes are on the grass. So there's going to be condensation on those clothes in the morning. That's you going to be happy with that?
Yeah, we don't care really.
They don't care. So why did you even bring the ground sheet if you don't care?
It came with the tent when I bought it. It's just, that's how it is.
And listen, I don't want to freak you out, but there's someone's written something on your tent. Can you tell us what that says?
That's V Festival last year.
Okay, so that's like a kind of a war wound.
Exactly. Yeah. These guys are like GIs, Festival GIs.
Why don't you go inside? Is he allowed to go? Is Adam allowed to go actually inside the tent?
Well, I've got muddy shoes, though. I should take my shoes off.
Just kneel with your knees just inside the entrance there.
I see some pills here in a blister pack. And what kind of pills have you got here?
Antihistamines.
Antihistamines. Oh. Have you got allergies?
I've got very bad hay fever, yeah.
Got some maracas?
Lost the other one.
So are you guys, what kind of songs are you singing? Do you write your own songs or are you playing covers?
Well, ask these guys. These guys are in a band.
We're just starting a band, myself and Niall over there. We might be called Atmosphere and the Dot Dot Dots, but we're not sure yet.
Atmosphere and the Dot Dot Dots. Mm. I like it. Are you in a position
play
to give
us
any...
your first single.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is called Bananas.
Yes.
It's about bananas.
It is.
Skibbity bubbity diggity dubbity skibbity bubbity diggity dub
bananas. Mummy's in the kitchen when your daddy's not around. Sister's in the garden and your brother's out of town. She leaves bananas. She loves bananas. Nah, nah, nah. And we could rule the world. And we could rule.
That was Bananas.
That was Bananas.
Atmosphere and the Dot Dot Dot.
Atmosphere and the Dot Dot Dots. Thank you so much. That was a chap called Jimi Hendrix. He was on the Waffles and Smoothie stage last night in the corner of the festival.
Was he?
Was recorded there. I think it's called Hey Joe. He was all right. I mean, everyone was sort of saying, oh, you got to see this guy. He's brills.
You were underwhelmed.
I was underwhelmed. I've seen it all before. You know, I can play. I can do that. I can play guitar upside down if I want, if I really want.
Who can't?
Who can't? And he didn't enunciate particularly.
It's lazy.
Not really. And he was wearing one of those libertines coats.
What do you mean? One of those like
same as this,
retro 60s coats?
Yes.
Yeah, so
seen
predictable.
It. Seen it.
Seen it.
Done it.
Not another 60s revival.
Boring.
Listen, we're coming to you live from Glastonbury. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. One of the biggest challenges of coming to the Glastonbury Festival, aside from surviving the festival itself, is the journey.
Oh, yes.
It's getting down here. Like, 1 year you and I drove, didn't we, Adam?
Yeah.
Back in the days when we were doing tele coverage for BBC Choice.
What the hell were
we drove down. How long did we sit in a jam for?
7 hours.
7 hours. It was infuriating.
It was.
Nothing worse than being stuck in a jam,
especially,
as Michael Douglas can attest.
Exactly.
You know, in this big metal box sitting in the middle of God knows where, Lord knows where.
I ran
unable
out
to move.
Music to play. I had my mini disc player and, you know, I thought I'd done pretty well stocking up for the music.
I was down to the really rotten stuff by the end of that.
They might have improved it over the years, but the roads around Glastonbury become notoriously congested leading up to the festival. Various local villages have to be sort of circled off by security men and stuff. It's a big hoo-ha.
It's an absolute diamond.
It's one
hoo-ha.
Of the largest of all the hoo-has.
Yeah.
So this year we decided to come by train.
Mm.
And we got our agents to pressure the BBC into sending us down in minor style, right? A cheap weekend first class upgrade.
Yeah.
Because the carriages were very full. So I was sitting in first class and some other people had had the same idea. They'd bought the cheap first class upgrade.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of lads sitting opposite me. I say lads, they were in their mid-30s, mid to late 30s. Mm-hmm. Obviously childhood friends. They sat down and they'd obviously sort of got off a week's work early and they were going to relive their youth by going down to Glasto together like they did maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
They went to the buffet as soon as it opened. How many tins of beer do you think they got each?
Each? Well, if it was me, I'd go for a couple.
Eight.
Eight each.
2 hour journey, eight each. What's the maths on that?
That's unbelievable. What, four
What's that,
of them?
One every 15 minutes?
That's extraordinary.
That was extraordinary. They started off with quite intelligent conversation, but then, and they were sitting right near me. I was trying to read my paper, but I couldn't help but listen to every single word they were saying.
Yeah.
They started to have a burping competition.
Did they?
Yeah. And then the burping competition, it devolved into a farting competition.
In executive class, this is.
This was in premier class. They started blowing off really loud, classic raspberry farts.
What the hell?
And I thought, this can't go on. So I broke the fourth wall again.
No.
Like I did at the King Creosote gig.
Oh, you intervened.
And I turned to them and said, how old did you say you are? 37.
That was
with
your
a smile.
Gambit.
It was a joy. It was a nice, right. Light-hearted thing to say.
It was.
They looked at me and laughed, but they were mortified.
Nice and light-hearted.
Cornish managed to do his mortifying act.
Were you
again.
Shaking while you said it?
No. I was. I'm used to this kind of thing. I'm a professional, professional party pooper.
Yeah.
And then we had a little chit-chat. That was fine. But they were obviously so freaked out at being caught, at being juvenile.
Yeah.
They tried to then turn their conversation into something more intellectual. I wrote down some of the stuff they said immediately after the farting incident.
People you don't ever want to be stuck in a confined space with.
Me.
Number one, Joe Cornish.
There was some giggling after the farting had been exposed and they sort of didn't know what to do next. Their style was cramped by me.
What a weird.
So they started to talk about films and one of them said, you know what the best film is ever made? Citizen Kane. Do you know why? Two words. Greg Toland. Depth of field. 75% of all communications nonverbal. It's about seeing the ceiling. He started to go super intellectual about
right.
Citizen Kane to try and convince me,
yeah.
The cornballs, that they weren't just fartmeisters.
They completely stopped guffing. It wasn't like
the guffing stopped. But he was really making a conscious effort to try and turn his reputation around.
Yeah.
I don't know what their names were. I won't embarrass them. But they were having a good time. And you know what the sweetest thing was? When the train pulled up at Castle Carey and the tannoy announced where we were, they both high-fived each other.
Hey.
Like a couple of excited 15-year-olds. It was
wow.
Very sweet. And they fell out of the train on their faces and fell asleep on the platform. As far as I know, they're still there.
Are you going to tell anyone else in the festival off today?
I'm going to tell a lot of people off in the festival.
We
yeah.
should, after the show's finished, we should go out there and record you just telling some people off.
They were farting. Like, would you have just tolerated the farting? It was stinky as well.
Oh.
You can't do stinky duffs in first class, can
no,
you?
No, I admire your interventionary skills. That's very impressive.
Yeah.
How old did you say you were?
But I don't paint me as some kind of like headmaster type character.
No, why would
I? It was it was jovial. It was friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
We're good pals.
That's cool. Good.
Yeah.
They polished off all their tinnies by the time they
all
got
the tinnies had gone.
That
Listen, let's have some more live music. Is this from yesterday as well? This is Block Party, who are on the other stage. This is a track called Prayer.
That was Block Party sounding big and impressive there, playing Prayer on the other stage here at Glastonbury last night. We're joined in our tiny, tiny studio by Murray Lachlan Young. He's the poet in residence
yeah.
for Six Music at Glastonbury.
I'm going to try and train one of the webcams on Murray while you do a quick chat so people at home who are watching the live streams can see his face.
Yesterday, Murray was sporting a pair of very impressive waders, thigh-high waders, battered with mud. Today it's a totally different sort of thing. He looks as if he's just come from a desert island. He's got a straw hat on. He's wearing sandals even.
Yeah, it's a I can definitely say that it is now a flip-flop viable site.
Are you comfortable that it's going to remain such?
I'm pretty confident that it's going to be that way now.
Oh,
yeah.
Good, I'm
and
glad.
The mud has just moved from that sort of consistency where you get great clods of it attached to your boots, and it's gone through that sort of slightly bouncy crust.
Yes.
And it's just heading into the sort of summer tarmac.
Right, right, right. It's at a nice stage, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if it gets any warmer and hotter, then you get the dust.
The dust, and then they have to have the lorries coming along, sprinkling all the paths. Yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So what kind of a poem have you got for us today? Do you want to just read it, or will you talk about it thematically beforehand?
Well, maybe if I just read it, and
okay.
then if you guys... Well,
we can discuss
afterwards. I'll give you a little bit of a something beforehand, but it's called To a Scrumpy Victim.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
well. And you see them, they start to increase in number, especially when you get heat, of course, because scrumpy and sunshine are a classic combination.
Well, the sunshine makes the apples ferment further.
Yes, yes.
It's in the stomach.
It's the deadliest
yeah.
combination known to man.
It is, and I was talking to Mark Collingwood, who's the stage manager of the Circus and Cabaret, and he reckons it's still... Scrumpy is the biggest destroyer
really?
Of minds in Glastonbury over the weekend.
Scrumpy
since 1970, he reckons. It's never changed.
Yeah. Molotov cocktail.
Let's hear the poem.
Okay, to a scrumpy victim. There you lie, mouth open wide, deep baked, still cooking in the morning sun, scorched swarthy by scrumpy God and wild Glastonbury night on which you raged, rattled and extolled, unleashed the beast, half man, half priest, until all things ceased in catatonic crisis, felled by the still fermenting dregs of your magical, malignant ally, drunk, wasted, ruined. No memory at all of when you spied with your greedy eye that gallon jug of roadside rough bought bulk brown plastic barrelette with tenor flush your budget ticket to the court of the scrumpy king and on to the gates of oblivion. A trip on which you cut your sway though blunted blood-filled random blade past fluffy cyberpunk and folky beard to flight through cafe glade mosh pit did you trip, gulp, howl but never sip, and now there you lie, O shipwrecked masthead splintered hulk, and gently fry thrown high on Glastonbury's mud-baked shore.
That was wonderful, Murray. Thank
you
very
amazing.
Much.
That was amazing.
Thank
I've
you.
Got to get me some scrumpy.
When did you compose that?
Well, I'd started it yesterday and finished it this morning.
Wow, that was fantastic. And perfectly captures the scene of devastation that you're confronted with when you arrive on the site. we're not sleeping on the site. You're camping, right?
I am camping. I had a classic Glastonbury scrumpy victim experience this morning when I was just nipping down for my morning shower after my physical jerks. And I saw this person in a tutu with that classic sort of deep-baked look, clucking like a little chicken and just jump-hopping along, going, yip, yip, yip. And I thought, she's having a laugh, she's joking, there's, you know, somebody's watching her. But no, she actually did genuinely think she was a chicken.
Blimey, and she's still got a couple of days to go.
That's a good time.
That's unbelievable.
She's got to keep it slow and steady from now
yeah,
on.
Yeah, she's probably having the best time of anybody here.
More than
That's
likely.
When you know you're really having a party.
When you think you're a chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have a nice time at Glastonbury? It was wicked. I was so ill in the head that I started clucking like a chicken on the Saturday morning.
Later on, Murray, you were saying that maybe you're going to go for a sauna up in the healing fields.
Yeah, I just got pretty fried by the amount of writing that I was doing yesterday, and I got out and I thought, right, and I went to see Neil Young, and because we're right next to the pyramid stage,
yeah.
And I walked back and I thought, right, I'm going to go out now, and I just was so tired, and I felt like such a loser creeping back to my tent.
Yeah.
I thought, well, tonight if I go for a sauna, get naked with the dreadlock massive, and get really hot, and then cover myself in freezing cold water, perhaps that might just get me into the night.
That'll sort you out. Wow. Well, good luck with that. That's something
it, yeah.
I might not be joining you for. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Thank you very much indeed, Murray.
Okay, guys.
And we'll see you,
thank you.
Probably later on tonight for our sunset show, I hope.
Yeah, yeah.
And if not, then certainly tomorrow. But have a good day for the rest of the day. We're going to play some music right now. And this is... What have we got now?
ABBA.
ABBA. Oh, yeah, this is a free play. Where do you stand on ABBA, Murray?
Well, I think... You got to love them, really.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of the movie Mamma Mia?
I haven't seen it, I'm
what?
Afraid, because I have sons.
Ah.
I think most people take their daughters to see Mamma Mia, don't they?
Yeah. I don't know. My dad's obsessed with it.
Is he now?
He is, yeah.
He absolutely loves it.
He loves it.
Well, this is a track I'm going to play for my mum. She likes this show and she likes this song, I think.
My mum and your dad should get together.
They really should.
Yeah.
They could sing this to each other. This is SOS. That was the Virgins, ladies and gentlemen. That's what Virgins sound like. They sounded a little bit like super furry animals, though, didn't they? This is Adam and Joe here at Glastonbury 2009. Very nice to have you along.
Yeah, now don't forget, listeners, that the BBC has gone interactiveness crazy. In an attempt to keep young and hip, they've embraced almost every single technological platform that's out there. You can see all the webcams at bbc.co.uk/Glastonbury. There's Twitter actions on a Twitter feed. I think there's going to be some audio boo button or whatever that is. No, what am I saying? Some audio boo action. And there's going to be red button coverage as well.
They've also employed some people, some psychics, and a couple of precogs, like in the film Minority Report. They are experiencing some of tonight's action for you later on.
Yep.
And they're reporting, they're saying it's really good. Jarvis Cocker apparently is amazing.
The BBC are going to try and relaunch Dial-A-Disc as well, the Dial-A-Disc service.
They've also got telex machines here as well, if you've still got a telex at home.
And long-wave Morse code signals, bringing you updates on the colour of Lily Allen's knickers.
Also, if you receive carrier pigeon mail, you just need to open the hatch of your carrier pigeon box. And the address for the hatch is carrier pigeon hatch.
What? Why do you address a carrier pigeon? What do you mean?
That's the thing.
What are you talking about?
What do you think I'm talking about?
I don't know. I'm imagining the BBC like letting loose a whole bunch of carrier pigeons.
That's the main hub.
And they've all got information about the festival.
Exactly.
In little, you know, metal tubes screwed around their necks.
Exactly.
Or no, strapped around their ankles.
Uh-huh.
That's where you put information on a pigeon, around the ankle. And then they're winging their way to various licence payers' households.
Yeah.
One for each licence payer.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, it's modern. It's modern.
It is
carrier
modern.
Pigeons, though, right? It's not all just, like, messages tied to their ankles. They've got chips in their beaks.
Do they?
So what happens is the pigeon arrives.
Yeah.
You see it's from the main pigeon hub.
Yeah.
You shove the pigeon's beak into the side of your computer.
Yes, a US beak.
Exactly.
Yes.
Into the US beak slot. And then it'll download the information from the pigeon's
really?
Beak. Then you pull it out, you lob it in the air, and off it goes back to Glastonbury.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
And you know the colour of Lily Allen's knickknocks.
Knickknocks. It's all paid for by the taxpayer because it's what they want.
It's a good use of money.
It's a very good use
of money.
Exactly
what the public want.
All right, we're going to play some music by The Horrors now. This was recorded yesterday here at Glastonbury. And after that, I think we're going to be speaking to a family that's been enjoying the festival, and we'll find out how they've been getting on. After this, The Horrors from the Park Stage yesterday.
That's The Horrors with Do You Remember, live from Glastonbury. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, your number one station for Glastonbury coverage. Adam, can you say that in like a deep, smooth voiceover man voice?
BBC Six Music, your number one station for live Glastonbury coverage. Smooth coverage. Ooh, suntan lotion. Smooth, sunny suntan lotion coverage. Ooh.
Thanks.
That kind of thing.
Thanks a lot.
Peeling skin. Stop it.
Stop now.
Now, listen, I said that we were just about to talk to our Glastonbury family, a real family that's enjoying the festival who we're going to chat with shortly, but not right now because we've been joined by Lucy O'Duherty. That's how you pronounce it. O'Duherty.
O'Duherty.
That's the most perfect pronunciation.
Lucy O'Duherty. She is our music news correspondent here at the festival. How are you doing, Lucy?
I'm fine, thank you very, very much.
And you have just witnessed the most extraordinary thing.
It's the strength of street knowledge.
What?
That's an NWA joke.
Oh.
Get with it.
Sorry, Grandad. Everyone out there going, obviously it's an NWA joke. You've witnessed the beginning of the music on the Pyramid stage.
I have,
day
indeed.
Two.
Yes.
And who was playing?
It was Vivi Brown who opened up. She played yesterday already, but this is her big main stage thing. And she was so excited. It was really cute to see.
Yeah.
She's like this fizzly little bottle of rock and roll energy. And she was just looked gleeful and had drums and was banging them around with big pointy shoulder pads and a massive quiff. So she looked amazing and she charmed everybody. I don't think anyone's going to leave that field today and not be a Vivi Brown fan.
How was the crowd, though? And what kind of size of crowd did they get at that hour of the day?
Well, I was there for the opening yesterday when it was Bjorn again, and that had the biggest crowd. It was like a headliner crowd with everybody doing an ABBA sing-along, which you can appreciate, I'm sure. Not the gestures, but the thought. Vivi Brown had a bit of a tiny crowd in comparison to that, I have to say. But there were people who were there were really dancing and getting in their rock and roll vibe. So,
is she one of the singers with insane hair?
Yeah, massive, massive quiff.
She's endangering the planet with the amount of hairspray she uses on there.
You've got to have a big quiff to get ahead in music, wouldn't you say, Lucy, these days?
I would say that. One of our music news reporters, Rodrigo, has a prize-winning quiff, so I think he's got
there
a starry future.
I mean, I don't want to just bang on about Grimmy all the time, but Grimmy's got a big quiff.
Joe's in love with
I wouldn't say I'm in love. I mean, I'm like fascinated by Grimmy.
What's his name again?
Grimmy.
Nick Grimshaw.
Nick Grimshaw.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a big quiff and he's getting ahead.
Joe exactly. Absolutely adores
I've
Nick
I've got to
Grimshaw.
Get myself a quiff.
I'm now, sure he's here somewhere. You could stalk him a little bit.
Oh, I will.
What kind of news have you got for us as far as the rest of the day goes, music-based?
Well,
stuff,
I thought there was going to be some news from this Vivi Brown gig, actually. Right. She did tell us in an interview yesterday that she was toying with the idea of doing a Michael Jackson cover and doing Rock With You as a bit of a tribute.
Oh, yeah.
But she didn't, so I think she chickened out of that, which is understandable because the vibe was quite high. You don't want to bring people down first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
But we can say that we talked to Baba Mal yesterday as well, and he is planning a bit of an MJ tribute later on.
He is planning to bring people down.
He wants to bring everybody down flat. That's his plan on the jazz stage later.
Yeah.
There's this thing that's billed as... Music for Change, or I actually can't remember what it's called. Changing the World with Music or something is billed on the Jazz World stage. And it's him, and he's got Magic Numbers, and he's got Gabriella Chilmi, who's that little popette person who was on the stage, main stage yesterday.
Yeah.
And they were planning to do some Bob Marley stuff and just music that's changed the world. So I think they're going to incorporate a bit of Michael Jackson into that and have a bit of a, like Mike Skinner in the streets did yesterday, do a bit of a medley.
Oh, did they do a medley, Mike Skinner? Right.
I've heard the rumour, that's the Glastonbury... Well, it did definitely happen, actually, but I wasn't there, unfortunately, which I'm sad about.
And how about Lady Gaga there, Lucy? You were describing her earlier as the queen of synthetic electro-fused robopop.
That's my mad
that's
journalism
good,
skills.
That's good, because Michael Jackson was the king of pop. It's a big pop family, isn't it? A big pop royal family.
Hmm.
I mean, to be the queen of synthetic electro-fused robopop, how far away in line from the throne are you?
That's like being the Lady Jane Grey, right, isn't it?
Yes.
Something along that kind of
She's the queen, but it's just a very tiny...
kingdom.
Kingdom, yeah.
A niche kingdom.
She has good quiffage, doesn't she?
She's got an amazing quiff. I promise you, my quiff theory, that's where it's at. I'm going to get a quiff and I'm going to leave you guys behind in the dust.
Those quiffs are deadly, though. If you bumped into one, can you imagine? They'd take your eye out. It'd be awful. And what's the big highlight for you personally as a music fan this weekend?
This weekend? Well, I saw Animal Collective last night, which was
storming. Yeah, was that good?
It was brilliant. To be honest, I was so tired, I was virtually lying on the floor and they kind of lulled me into this kind of zoned out space, which was very nice. But they were amazing. I'd heard rumours that they were a little bit hit and miss live, so... They stormed
All the Fleet Foxes were off watching them as well, weren't they?
Oh, were they? That's good. And Dead Weather yesterday, saw Jack White come on and do his Dead Weather thing.
How was that?
That was amazing. It was weird because they were billed as a special guest and I was voxing some of the crowd beforehand saying, so who do you think the special guest is going to be? And they were like, it's Muse, it's definitely Muse. Mm. And I was feeling a bit bad for Jack White because although he's amazing, if people are expecting Muse and they get someone, a new band of music they've never heard before, it could be a bit of a downer. But he came on and to begin with, people's faces looked like, who on earth is this? We don't recognise them because he was the drummer, so who's at the back? So he obviously wasn't at the front of the stage. But by the end, he'd won everybody over.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and Guy Garvey was in the crowd cheering along and Emily Evis was there as well. So quite a few stars turned out for that one.
I wonder if he's going to stick around. Do you think someone like him would stick around or just split immediately? I want to see him stalking around like a big, weird, white skeleton man.
They were amazing yesterday. The whole band had matching wellies with orange rims.
Oh.
All in black, black leather jackets, black skinny jeans, black wellies, orange rims.
Stylish. Lucy, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Lucy. We're going to go to some more live music. This is from yesterday. This is NERD with Maybe. That's NERD recorded yesterday on one of them stages here at Glastonbury. Were they on the Pyramid stage? Of course they were.
They're one
of the biggest bands in the Omniverse.
That's right. We've been joined in our tiny studio now. It's very full in here. By a couple of families, or representatives from a couple of families at least. We've got Jane. Jane is mum. And Jane's daughter is called Hallie. Hi, Hallie.
Hi.
How are you doing? Nice to have you here. And there's Karen over there. And Karen is Oscar's mum. Hi, Oscar.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Now, Oscar, how old are you?
10.
And how old are you, Hallie?
8.
And is this your first time?
Don't ask the mums how old they are. I thought you were going to ask the mum.
Obviously, I'm not. I would never do that to
awful.
A woman. Is this your first time at Glastonbury?
Yeah.
First time at any festival, or have you been to other festivals before?
Been to others.
I've been to other ones.
Which one have you been to before, Oscar?
I've been to the Evolution Festival.
No. Evolution. Were you on your own with some mates? Did you drive down in a VW? No?
No.
No.
And how about you, Hallie? Which one have you been to?
I can't quite remember.
She can't remember.
They all blur. They were so...
Yeah. One in...
When you drink that much beer at such a young age, things do tend to blur.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And how about you, Jane and Karen? Is this your... This is not your first Glastonbury, is it?
No.
In fact, how many times have you been here?
Well, I came about 18 years ago with my husband before we had kids, and then we thought it might be quite nice to bring them when we came back. But I think you came last year, didn't you?
No, yeah, before last we were here when it was really, really muddy.
And you brought the children then?
No,
of course, this is the first time.
Yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, I've got children myself, but the oldest is 7, and the young, then there's a 5-year-old, and the youngest is only a few months.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the same setup as we've got. Right. So everyone did say that we're a bit mad. There was only one woman who said, oh, I'd love to do that, and that was our next door neighbour. But we've got an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 6-month-old, and I booked the tickets when I was pregnant. And then after I booked them, I did think, oh, maybe that was a bit hormonal. But, and I started panicking a little bit about coming when she got to about 2 months old, and I wasn't sure how I was going to cope then. But actually it's been easy, because with her not walking, I think if she was another year and you were chasing around and it was muddy and that kind of thing, but they kind of drop off to sleep a lot when they're 6 months, so it's not so bad.
So they're all on site right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the youngest is being looked after by dad with this hangover.
Well, no, it's Karen's husband Paul who's got the hangover.
Oh, okay.
Mine's left in the kids field with the baby, and the 5-year-old's just, the kids field is unbelievable for sitting there and just relaxing while the kids go off and do
stuff. It's good, isn't it? I was checking that out yesterday. I walked past it and they've got a sort of climbing mountain.
That's brilliant.
And like
it's
special facilities and everything.
Well, you think you can just sit. We've just sat at the top next to the Helter Skelter and the kids just go off and do stuff. She's done face painting, puppet making, made some fairy wings, been on the castle, a few rounds of the Helter Skelter. There's just tons of stuff that can go off and you can't see them for an hour or so.
Was that enjoyable, Hallie?
Yeah.
In the kids' area. And what about music-wise? Are there any bands here that excite you? Have you got albums by anybody here? Or are you just kind of trying to blank the music?
I don't have any people that I'm...
Who do you like to listen to when you're at home?
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia, ABBA, yeah. Well, Bjorn, again, we're here. Did you not go and listen to them?
I did, but I only got the end bit, though.
Was it any good? Was it good?
Yeah.
There you go.
They're the absolute kings of the tribute band scene.
They really are.
What about Lily Allen? She was playing yesterday. Were you interested in her at all?
Yeah.
Did you see her dress? It was unbelievable.
You did,
it was
the purple one.
The purple one. And it looked as if it was in two sections. It looked as if someone had cut it right the way down the middle and it had just come apart and it was being held together by tiny bits of sticky tape.
You paid a lot of attention to that.
Well, I was absolutely mesmerised.
She looked like the girl in Lazy Town. Do you ever watch Lazy Town?
No.
Don't watch Lazy Town.
I'll kill that dead. Lazy Town.
How about you, Oscar? What have you been checking out band-wise? Anything?
I'm feeling like I'm around the kids' field.
Right, but no bands, no acts, no musicians you're excited about seeing.
I went to see the Papini Sisters.
Oh yeah, they're good, and they do. They're sort of close harmony 40s type stuff, aren't they? Yeah.
Was that because you yourself wanted to see them, or did one of the parents take you there?
My mum wanted to see them.
Your mum. And what did you think of them? You can be honest. Don't stand on ceremony for your mum. Tell us the truth.
They were quite good,
but could do a bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should get that message through to them.
And how does it work with all the walking from place to place? Because I imagine that would be really tough with children, because I know mine certainly don't like to walk more than about 200 yards before they start wailing and crying and demanding.
The walking's not too bad. Although the pushchair got a little bit clogged up yesterday.
Yeah. Well, they've been all right, actually. But the thing is, if you go everywhere we've gone, we've kind of gone and then sat for a while and then moved on somewhere else. I mean, yesterday was a bit of a slog just because of the mud.
Yeah.
But you can just, every field you go in, you can sit down for a bit. And as long as you do that, you're all right. We've just not been really, you know, vigilant about, ooh, let's get here by a certain time. And I think if you just go with the flow instead of trying to be somewhere at a particular point, then you're all right, really.
And let me just quickly ask Hallie and Oscar, what do you think of the behaviour of the adults here? You've been looking at, you've been probably checking out some people who are, say, maybe 5 years older than you, 6 or 7 years older than you. Can you see yourselves behaving in this way when you're independent? You know, when you get to 16, are you going to come down here and act like a loony? What do you think?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, says Oscar. Are you counting the days till you can come down here and act like a loony?
Yeah.
No way.
Yes.
Well, what about you, Hallie?
Yeah.
Yes, look at that. So Glastonbury's future is secure.
And do you worry as parents that, like, as a prissy parent?
You are a prissy parent.
I'm a very prissy
look at
parent.
You. You're
look
prissy little too.
I'm even standing prissily. Joe went to see some comedy in the cabaret tent yesterday in the middle of the afternoon, and there's quite a lot of effing and blinding going on.
There was some swearing. They didn't seem to be, you know,
we did see
cleaning
Lily,
it up for the kids.
There has been a whole new world of language opened up to us. Like, Lily Allen, we were quite enjoying Lily Allen, but then there was that song about the BNP, and
yes.
That was good.
Don't say anything bad, but have you been shocked by anything you've seen? You can just give me a yes or no answer. Or have you taken it all in your stride? Is it just another day on the block? It's just another day.
It's all fine. There was no moments when you looked at your parents and said, "Mummy, I thought you weren't supposed to say things like that."
Hallie?
The ting-tings last night were a little bit... Her language was a little bit fruity, wasn't it, when we got there?
Yeah.
Well, you guys look pretty sensible. I must say I'm very impressed by how clean you are as well. Like, I thought you would have been a bit more covered in mud and stuff, but no, you look as if you're freshly scrubbed and showered.
Can I just say Oscar's probably upset because he did ask me yesterday. He says, can I put some dirty clothes on Sunday and go face first, belly first down the hill in the mud?
Yes.
Yeah, go for it, but it's starting to dry up.
Well, listen, chaps, thank you so much for talking to us. I really hope you enjoy the rest of your festival.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
No problem.
And maybe see you again.
We've got some music right now. This is Jack Pignatte, and it's called Be The One. That was Jack Pignatte with Be The One. This is Adam and Joe here at Glastonbury 2009. Later on this afternoon, we are going to be going to the tent. One of the tents. The big tents. The cabaret tent is what it is. And we're going to be telling some of our made-up jokes. Or I say some of the jokes that have been sent in to us by you listeners over the months. And it's going to be like classic made-up jokes, basically.
Yeah, and we are going to credit all the authors of the jokes that we use. So
absolutely.
In a way, your material is being performed at Glastonbury.
But you know, the one person whose name I couldn't find was the... which joke? It was my dog... ate a shuttlecock.
Badminton.
Yeah, my dog Minton ate a shuttlecock.
If
badminton.
You sent us that joke, text us 64046 or email whatever. What's the email address, Adam?
It's adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
Yeah, if you're the author of that badminton joke, then send your name in. How are we going to distinguish authentic authors from fake ones? We'll figure it out during the news. And
yeah, you wouldn't lie about a joke.
No.
I mean, that's bad. That's as low as it gets. It's 12:30, yes, as Joe said. Time for the news. That's the Yeah Yeah Yeahs with Heads Will Roll. This is Adam and Joe here at Glastonbury 2009. Did you enjoy that track, Joe?
I did enjoy it. It sounds very like a Prodigy song to me. And it just came to me that the bass line is a bit like the bass line from This Is Not a Love Song.
Right, some of the tinkly bits sound like Outer Space, don't they?
Yeah, it's just an assemblage of nicked bits.
That's what modern music's like.
It's true, isn't it? I shouldn't worry about it.
Hey, man, have you been following the tennis at all?
You know what? No.
Are you not a big tennis fan?
I don't mind tennis, but I've been ignoring it.
You hate tennis?
I hate tennis.
You loathe tennis and all the people involved with it?
No.
No. You know, I'm not fussed by tennis at all. The most exciting thing about tennis for me is the robot roof they've got over the Wimbledon
robot roof
stadium. That looks nice because it's all temperature controlled. When the roof goes on, everything cools down.
Adam Buxton, you love a hermetically sealed temperature controlled
air
container.
You know, I know it's not good for the planet, but I do love air conditioning.
If you're driving along on a hot day, you don't like the windows wound down, do you? You like them closed and the aircon on.
I like a bit of air conditioning.
Yeah, you see, I'm the other way around.
Really?
I like an open window.
Would you rather burn to death or freeze to death?
That's a good question. Can I do both?
What, like almost get completely burned and then suddenly at the last minute you're totally frozen?
Well, the answer to that's usually like freezing to death would be better because you can put more layers on. Whereas if you're burning to death, you know, you can't take the skin off.
No, that's true, isn't it?
So I'd go for cold, but then I don't like the look of either, to be honest.
How about drowning? Would you go for any drowning?
Are these threats?
No, I'm just curious.
No, I don't think there are many upsides to drowning.
Buried alive?
Buried alive. Yeah. No. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I just went off on a tangent. This all started with tennis, and specifically the fact that a lot of people have been discussing the vocal grunting styles of one of the players. I don't know if she's done very well in the tournament or not, or if she's been knocked out or what. Her name is Michelle Larcher de Brito. I think she's from Brazil, and she's young, you know, she's barely in her 20s, if that.
But she has got an extraordinarily ludicrous grunting style. And you know the kind of thing I mean, right? Previous famous grunters have included Monica Sellers and Jimmy Connors, wasn't he a big grunter? Anyway, this is Larcher de Brito in action. I mean, that's not even a grunt so much as just a shout, a yelp.
She's having fun.
It's an animalistic yell.
She just loves it.
Yeah.
Woo! That's a good attitude. I mean, you could distract your opponent with that kind of
thing,
though.
This is the thing.
I mean, there must be some rules.
This is a thing that everyone's discussing. Is it on? The other thing that makes it problematic is that she doesn't do it in practice.
Do you know what I'd do?
What?
I'd go, and serve, then I'd shout, phone call from your mum!
Yeah.
Your dad's over there!
Exactly.
What, shoelace! Your flies are undone!
I've been trying to come up with
using those techniques.
Alternatives myself. It is a fun thing to do. If I was a big tennis player, these are some of the grunts that I would come up with. Do you want to hear a couple?
Yes. No, I don't. What would you do if I said, no, I don't?
I'd come over to where you're sitting in the corner of the cubicle. I'd smack your head against the window a few times.
Oh, yes, I do.
Wait
want
till you passed out and then I'd play them anyway. Here's the first one. Yeah, do you like that one?
That's just like that's like monkey tennis. Just sounds like an ape playing tennis.
That's a good one. Do you think that would put
sounds
people
Brazilian.
Off?
Brazilian.
I mean, that's celebratory, though, isn't it?
Yeah, celebratory of what? What
Brazilian.
Are you celebrating?
Why
there?
Does that sound Brazilian?
That's where monkeys live. In the jungles in Brazil.
They've got monkeys in other places.
Not really.
Really? Yeah. The best monkeys come
from
Brazil.
Yeah, the top monkeys.
Do you want another tennis grunt?
No.
Come
yes,
on.
Yes, I do.
Here's another one, because I've got about 15.
God. It's kind of taken you long. You're really pleased with this. It is good, though.
You're missing, though.
Sorry.
At the end of each grunt, he's doing a little chuff.
Oh, yes. I didn't hear that in there. Well, that's just pollutive, isn't it?
Yeah, but do you think that would be on? Because surely, sometimes the chuff comes with an extreme vocal exaltation.
That's true, isn't it? When you lose control of your bodily functions and one of them escapes.
And do you think anyone would mention it?
Does that ever happen to you in company? You're watching a film or something, you get overly relaxed, or you laugh at something on the telly and suddenly a big loud raspberry comes out. That's embarrassing. No, but that's a good idea. I certainly think a tennis player could gain capital from some chuffing.
How about this one from... I was imagining this one from, like, an American player. I'll kill you. Just threats. I'm gonna
kill you. Right, so is it aggressive...
I'm gonna kill you.
American?
Yeah.
No, but that wouldn't be allowed.
I'm going to kill you.
You can't threaten your opponent with death.
No, but if it's not, like, he could just say, it sounds like I'm going to kill you.
Right.
But that's just the way the breath comes out.
Right.
That's how I train.
Right.
You know, I train hard, I train to the max, I push my body to the limit. And if it sounds like I'm saying, I'm going to kill you, then that's your problem.
I'd imagine that's par for the course. You know, I'd be more frightened by the chuffing.
Par for the course is a golf thing, man.
Oh, you're right, I'm mixing my metaphors. But you know, all tennis players want to kill each other through the medium of sport,
that's
right?
True,
they want to kill
it?
Each other's careers.
Yeah.
So I think you need to be more threatening.
More?
Yeah, stab.
What kind of thing would you
just
go
be
for?
More specific about the method of death.
Yeah.
So it's really threatening.
Oh, I see. I'm going to stab you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm going to come stab you.
Yeah. I mean,
you
that would be illegal. That'd be stepping over, crossing a line, but...
That'd be awful, wouldn't it?
Yeah. In fact, maybe the linesman could, you know, call whether that was over the line. How close to the line that fell.
That's tennis news here at Glastonbury 2009. Time for some more music now. This is Jamie T, recorded on the Peel stage last night, playing Salvador.
What a... Couldn't understand a word he was saying.
Lou Racket.
Disgraceful.
Who on earth was that man?
I don't know. I didn't know. It was really incomprehensible.
Shouting, screaming. I didn't understand
dropping
a
his
word
T's.
He was saying.
Terribly bad influence.
He can't pronounce his T's, even though he's called Jamie T.
Repetitive derivative.
I mean, it sounds like an angry, person who's got into a scrap over a parking space.
Mm.
And done a song all over it.
And
And that was Jamie T. It was recorded last night here at Glastonbury. And this is Adam and Joe, of course, if you didn't realise. Mm. It's a special Glastonbury show, so many of our usual features, if you're a regular listener to our programme on a Saturday morning, are not present and correct. Sorry about that if you're missing them. But we've got a couple of made-up jokes, actually.
Do we?
Yeah, well, I was going to tell you these jokes by way of giving ourselves another plug for our stint at the cabaret stage later on, which you will be able to hear tomorrow.
Do you think anybody here at the festival has a portable DAB? Do you think anyone's listening?
Possibly.
Do portable DABs exist? There might be one or two listeners. Well, if you are listening, don't forget to get down to the cabaret tent at 4 this afternoon, because Adam and I are going to be doing 5 minutes of, when we say doing, I mean reading, 5 minutes of made-up jokes sent in by listeners, and we're going to see what the audience response is like.
Yeah, it could go either way. Either it could be a nice... We're hoping that members of Black Squadron will be there to support us.
Yeah.
But it could be that... most people don't know who the hell we are and will be angry about the fact that we're on stage interrupting the flow of the comedy, and even more angry about the fact that we're just reading them off a sheet of paper. Mm. But my plan was to tell the audience, such as it was, not to respond in any way, because we've only got 5 minutes, a tight five, right? So say to the audience, you're not allowed to laugh at any of these jokes. You're not allowed to respond in any way. If you think they're rubbish, you can't boo, you can't laugh, you can't do anything until the whole lot's finished, right? And then we just rattle through them alternately, you and I.
Yep, yep, yep.
And do it like that.
That's going to be a rip-roaring success. Don't forget you can see all this action at Glastonbury via the webcams at bbc.co.uk/Glastonbury. There's webcams in this studio. Someone appears to be like vision mixing between the two of us.
Oh.
Yeah, cutting to a shot of me and my weird festival beard.
You look as if you're in the Velvet Underground there.
Thanks, man. That's flattering. Teeth look quite white. And then they're cutting back to you in a kind of as if we're on TV.
Oh, look, there I am. I don't like that shot. That's not a flattering shot.
I don't like it. And Lauren Laverne is going to be coming to join us for our last hour in approximately 9 minutes. So there's loads to look forward to. And don't forget, we're back... on air tomorrow between 11 and 2.
And tonight.
Same segment. And tonight.
Sunset Show, 9 till 10.
Can't escape our idiocy.
Here's a couple of made-up jokes before we play some Neil Young from last night's gig. Here's one from Catriona in Edinburgh.
Yes.
She says, while shopping in Asda recently, my boyfriend made up a joke while in the fruit and vegetable section. That's often the place where you make up jokes.
Funny place.
In the supermarket. He seemed quite proud of it, so I thought I'd send it in. What's Paul McCartney's favourite type of lettuce? Lettuce B. Get it? And afterwards she explains, that's a play on the song title Let It Be.
Yes.
I suppose it requires that you imagine that the lettuces are lined up in a row, with each one represented by a different letter of the alphabet. Anyway, I thought I'd share it with you. Thanks, Catriona from Edinburgh. Here's another one. You ready?
Yeah, kind of.
This is from Alistair Baker's friend.
Distancing himself. The author's already distancing himself.
He says, my friend Jim wanted to share this with you. Have you ever been to the underwater Glastonbury? For all intents and purposes, it was a bit wet.
Quickly play some music.
Here's a little jingle to set the scene before we play Neil Young doing a cover of the Beatles' Day in the Life.
There is Neil Young. There is a tree. There's a naked man doing a wee.
There you go. This is Neil Young from last night here at Glastonbury, apparently ending his cover of Day in the Life with 2 minutes of pure noise.
White noise.
Yeah.
You see, that Spiritualized, for example... Was it Spiritualized or Spacemen 3, who could they do about 17 minutes?
They built their careers on white noise.
Yeah. No. Who am I thinking of? My Bloody Valentine. Yeah,
there's a lot of that in Spiritualized as well, though.
They love white noise.
Yeah, kind of a wall of sound.
Neil Young. Oh, wait, was she a great big fat person?
That was pretty incredible, though, don't you think? I wish I'd been there for that. One man who was there for that. Were you there for that, Matt Everett?
I was there for that. It was amazing.
Yeah, Matt's joined us in the studio. He's another music news hound here at Six Music. And you're a lucky man. You actually get to see all the acts. We have to go and record packages with loonies in tents and stuff. You actually get to see performances.
Neil was fantastic. What you heard there was the start of about 50 minutes of racket. He got his guitar and was just pulling the strings off.
No.
And then he rested it against an amplifier and hit it with a stand.
Oh, that
old trick. So it just went clong, clong.
Really?
But in quite of, not like I'm going to smash my instrument more, I'm just going to kind of gently
tease
thong,
it. Flick it.
Thong.
Like you're flicking someone's bottom in their locker room.
It was
a towel.
It was very much, it was quite frat boy, yes. It was quite like that. That was definitely one of the highlights.
I'm going to tease my guitar with a stand. Oh, wait, was she a big fat person? Put the lotion in a basket.
He didn't play Harvest Moon, though, did he? He didn't play, what's the song called that we played last night? It is called Harvest Moon, yeah.
It was. The thing is with Neil Young, you don't know, one of the reasons that people love him is the fact that he can be just quite cantankerous and just play album tracks from some of his awful albums as opposed to some great songs from his good albums. But he did like a nice mix. He did Cinnamon Girl, he did Needle and the Damage Done, he did a version of Keep on Rocking the Free World that did go on for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And he'd stop and there'd be a big noisy bit and then he'd start again. But that's kind of what you want from Neil. He did. He looked like he was enjoying himself.
Did he do Hey Hey My Mind?
Yeah, he opened with that.
That's right.
We heard that.
So that's a kind of... You never know whether a band is going to do a headliner like that who's been around for so long is going to kind of commit to the songs that people want
to
hear.
You would have thought, though, Glastonbury, a crowd like that, you would have thought you would veer towards your classics.
It would be incredibly perverse if you denied people the riches.
But that sounded like a good mix. And Matt, otherwise, you've been sort of snuffling around the corners of the festival, checking out some less famous bands, right?
This morning, I went to go and see We Are Band.
Ooh.
Which was three people wearing white lycra, very earnestly pushing laptop buttons, really bad techno.
Yeah.
Which, that was quite exciting. And
right.
They had everyone that was kind of probably not been to bed, kind of doing that half-hearted sort of shuffle where you're not quite sure whether they're going to push through the day.
What time was this?
That was about half an hour ago.
Really?
And I saw Baddies as well, which was just good, proper, noisy indie. It's not all trendy rave stuff around here or classic legends. You've just got some good, proper, at just boys wearing jeans and shirts buttoned up to the top.
Baddies is a good name as well.
That is a good name.
Not that We Are Band isn't, of course.
How do you think they spell their band in that name?
Right, B-A-N-N-E-D.
Wasn't that the Grange Hill band?
They were called the band, yes.
They were called the band. How was that spelled?
Yeah, that was B-A-N-N-E-D.
Yeah.
As in the band Robbie Robertson... Bob Dylan's backing band, The Band.
Well, a kind of a play on that.
But they weren't in Grange
Hill. As if they'd been banned, yeah. I'm getting confused. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow, so that's really gone full circle with that name.
Who else have you seen, Matt?
I saw a little bit of Peter Bjorn and John.
Oh, right.
And so, obviously, they're enormously famous for their track...
The Sainsbury's track, I call it.
Yeah.
The home base track.
They must be loaded. They must come down in a sort of platinum Winnebago with all their advert money, don't you think?
Yeah, new material, new record, not going down as well.
Really? Whistling? Did they have the whistling?
I kind of watched about 50 minutes of it and everybody around me was kind of shuffling their feet going, are you going to play it?
Are you going to play the home base one?
Not playing it. Is this it? No. Is this it? No.
Aww.
And then I just got bored and walked off. There was that kind of thing where you kind of like, you could see them watching people wandering off.
That is one of the curses.
Well, there is a curse, isn't there? Having one big hit off your first album. If you only have one hit, that's a bit of a trap, isn't it?
Surely.
Got to play it, but you know, do you want to go to bury it?
Well, it's like...